So again, in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, gives this idea of praying with persistence that is very close to the passage that we're talking about, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And so I'll start out in verse 1 here. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to him, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So he again gives this parable and says there's this unrighteous judge who eventually he is going to give this justice because of the crying out to him. He's saying, how much more will the righteous judge bring that justice in due time? You guys understand this idea from the lesser to the greater. And so in this same way, if your friend who is kind of annoyed by you that you came at midnight, came at 3 a.m. to ask for this, if he's going to even open the door, how much more will your Father open the door to you if you come to him and knock and are persistent in that? Keep praying. And do not lose heart if it doesn't happen right away. Have you ever prayed for something and then prayed for it and then prayed for it and then lost heart and then stopped praying for it? I'm reminded again of this story Tamara told to us a couple months back where I assume I can say this because she said it in front of you, but she lived a lot of her life as a non-Christian. And where was it that you were a part of this Bible study?
In South Carolina.
So in South Carolina, she ended up being a part of this Bible study, but not yet a believer, and had some interaction with this group there. And after she left, there was, people who kept praying for her. And how many years later was it when you made that phone call to them?
It was actually 8 years.
So 8 years after that, she calls them back and says, there's basically her first call. I've come to believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior. And I think, I can't remember if she heard Raucous Celebration or Dead Silence, Stunned Silence, probably the first leading into the second. But one of the guys, his reaction shortly after was embarrassment and sadness, obviously joy, but also mixed with a bit of humility and sadness, because basically he had given up after several years of praying for that. He kind of lost heart, it's not going to happen, and given up that prayer. Well, she found out there was a group of the ladies there that were a part of this Bible study that said that they prayed throughout those 8 years. You know, I don't know how often, but, by the week, by the month, they kept praying, did not lose heart for that. And so, imagine the joy, and sometimes we can ask, well, why does God make us wait? Why doesn't he just throw that door open and give us exactly what we want right away? Well, there may be a number of reasons, but you can imagine the different feeling if you pray for something for 8 years and then you see God bring it about, versus if you just pray for something, it's like, there it is. And you can even get into that mindset of, oh, I pray for something, God delivers it. You can sort of get into the mindset of, God's my butler. He's just the best butler in the world. Why doesn't God answer things right away? It would be really easy for our fallen natures to get into that. And sometimes God wants us to pray with persistence. One, he wants to show us like that that's a really important thing. We should keep doing that. We should, you know, stick with that. We should understand how important it is. We should keep coming to Him. And when He finally, you know, brings it about in His timing, what an awesome thing to be able to see, what an awesome thing to experience. And I'm sure that, you know, those ladies are so joyful that they did not lose heart in that prayer and spent, you know, year after year doing that. So the message is keep praying, you know, keep praying, keep praying. And also to be bold and persevere, even if the initial response is not what you expect it to be necessarily. I hear people sometimes saying, you know, if God closes the door, He always opens a window, or you always just go through the open door. And I know a lot of people, I don't want to talk too negative about that or anything like that, but there are some times where the door closes and God just wants you to keep knocking on that door. Sometimes God wants you to knock that door over, and He's like, I'll help you do that. By the way, in man college, we learned how to knock down a door. What did we do? So who was here? I'll give you a test right now. You don't use your shoulder, by the way. You can hurt your shoulder. You're supposed to kick the door right next to the door handle, right next to the lock. It's a free lesson for the day. How many knew that? Raise your hands. Yep. She knew that. Either I just help people break into places, or I made it easier if there's a fire for you to get out. But yeah, that's the way. But sometimes we're to do that. Sometimes there's an obstacle, but we're to keep praying. We're to keep praying. You're not always necessarily to go down the path of least resistance. I want you to turn me to page 975 of the Pew Bibles. This is Matthew chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 24. This idea of, you know, an initial sort of negative response, it makes me think of this account where Jesus is speaking to this woman, and she's asking, well, let's turn there, page 975. I believe that it's that she's asking for healing, or for a demon to be cast out. I'll back up a little bit. Matthew chapter 15. Yeah, she's praying on behalf of her daughter in verse 22. She says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But Jesus... This is can often be viewed as a very difficult verse, a very difficult response from Jesus. You know, you hear this woman saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." In verse 23, "But He did not answer her a word, and His disciples came and implored Him, saying, 'Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us.'" So Jesus' response is nothing. His disciples' response is even worse, saying, "Get her out of here." Verse 24 seems very difficult as well. He says, "But He answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Because Jesus is the Messiah. He was sent first to the Jews, first to Israel. But in verse 25, "But she came and began to bow down before Him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" She heard that initial, sort of that initial, you know, the door is closed, but she persevered in her call. She came and began to bow down before Him, saying, "Lord, help me." And He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." It goes even further in challenging her. Verse 27, "But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once." This is an amazing story. I'm not going to fully get into, but the initial reaction is like, "Hey, I was sent to the Jews. I was sent to Israel." But she just perseveres. And in doing so, You know, we talked a little bit about some of the reasons God might cause us to persevere and that type of thing, instead of just giving us things at the snap of the finger. But here it shows this woman's faith. It shows her, it gives her an ability to demonstrate humility. I mean, that would be a very difficult thing to hear that and to still push forward and say, please, 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 please heal me, or please heal my daughter. This going back to our passage in Luke 11, this term that is translated perseverance, persistence in verse 8. Yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. It's a word that they're not sure exactly necessarily the meaning, and there's a couple of possible meanings, and one of them, as is translated, I think, in the NIV now, is shameless audacity. There's this shameless aspect to it, in the sense of just going to God and requesting things that may seem a bit out of the ordinary, or may seem like it takes some shamelessness to ask for them. You know, in the case of asking for bread at 3 a.m., yes, there are some reasons for that, but again, when we put ourselves in the picture of knocking at that door in the middle of the night asking for bread, there's something kind of shameless about that you would go and do that. And God, and I don't know that I fully understand this, wants us to have this type of perseverance, this type of shameless audacity. As we were going through Genesis in our Sunday night Bible study, we looked at this, and I'm going to use a pun here. It's a passage that we wrestled with, of Jacob wrestling with God. I was going to say no pun intended, but anyway, there's a whole comedian who does a bit on that when you say no pun intended, you have to make sure it comes at the end of the sentence. Otherwise, people are pretty sure the pun was intended. So anyway, he does it much better than I. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 32, has this picture of Jacob wrestling with this mysterious being. In Genesis 32:24-32, says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him and said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved.'" Yeah, this is a really interesting passage. If you want to talk more about it, I can talk more about it with you later as well. But the main idea is Jacob is wrestling with this being. And throughout Jacob's life, really, you have this intense desire to be blessed by God. And sometimes he doesn't do it in the best way. And sometimes there's deceit early on, and God does not endorse the deceit aspect of it. But one thing about Jacob, who here God renames Israel, is that he had this intense desire to be blessed by God. And that in and of itself seems like not necessarily a great thing, but it is. God wants us to want to be blessed by him. God wants, you could say Jacob has this kind of shameless audacity to just go after God and ask for his blessing. Because really, what is the alternative from wanting to be blessed by God is to want to do things ourselves, to try to make ourselves happy, to find happiness, to find blessing in somewhere else. But God wants us to persist. He wants us to have audacity in going to Him. He wants us to want to be blessed by Him. He wants us to come to our Heavenly Father and to ask for these things. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." This is a really interesting little verse that, yes, it seems obvious that, you know, we're supposed to have faith, and even that it's impossible to please God without faith. But an aspect of that is that we're to believe that God is a good God who is going to reward those who seek after Him. He wants us to want that blessing from Him. It's viewed as a very good thing that Jacob seeks with perseverance God's blessing. Now, I definitely want to give a caveat to this, because we're supposed to be bold. We're supposed to ask with this shameless audacity and this perseverance. But that does not mean we're to ask for riches, or that this is about asking for a blank check. And so we're to persevere. Yes, we're to ask with perseverance, but also with perspective and remembering God's agenda and not, you know, in His will and not our own, understanding that God may have a different way for us. The Bible is clear that not all prayers are answered, at least not right away and not always in the affirmative. And sometimes our prayers are not answered because, as James 4, 2 and 3 puts it, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And so if this was just about, I want more, 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 I want riches, the answer is not going to be like yes or eventually yes. There are times when God says, okay, persist, but not necessarily in that. And if we look at the parable in Luke 11 that we've been looking at here, what are some aspects of the parable that make clear that this is not about riches? This is not about, you know, sort of ostentatious wealth or something like that. This is not some type of guarantee that, you know, you can ask God for whatever you want, He's going to give it right away and give it in the amount that you desire. I haven't decided yet whether that's a rhetorical question or a real question, but if you have an answer, I'm willing to entertain it. Yeah, so one of the aspects of it is that he's asking for someone else. It's this friend that came upon him from a long journey. So he thinks, can I have this for someone else? Can I have this for someone else? I was talking with Jimmy last week. We're going to, by the way, Jimmy, he was asking, are we going to talk about this verse about knocking and having the door open of asking and receiving, because this is going to be a difficult verse. Does this mean we can ask for anything and we're always going to get it and that type of thing? And some of the promise related to this type of thing we're going to look at next week. But I hope I'm not embarrassing Jimmy, but he's a great fisherman. He goes fishing every week, and he was kind of asking, is it okay if I pray that I get the biggest catch of the day? And there's a big prize that comes along with getting the biggest catch of the day. And he was like, I saw this verse and I prayed for it and I got the biggest catch. He's a great fisherman. He often gets the biggest catch, but, you know, one particular time, at least he prayed for it and God answers that prayer. And does it mean it's a guarantee, like all you have to do is pray for that and he's automatically going to get it? I would say I don't think so. But do I think it's possible that he prayed for that and asked for that and God said, yeah, I'm going to give him that. He asked for that and I'm going to give him that. And I think, yes, it's absolutely possible. And I think one of the reasons why it's more likely impossible is that Jimmy doesn't take his winnings and just spend it on himself. He always gives fish to other people. He always takes the money and gives it to like the staff on the boat, which made me think maybe they go and tie the biggest fish onto his line. But no, I think he always catches it. He's legit. But all he asks for is just give me another ticket so I can come back next week. That's all he wants out of it. And so when we ask with that type of attitude, I think we are much more likely to receive from it. What else do we see in this parable that, leads us to believe that this would not be about, riches and our own pleasures and that type of thing? Well, another aspect of is, what does he ask for? He asks for 3 loaves, right? And it's not even like big American loaves of bread. Like, these are, little loaves that's just enough to get them through until morning, until the bread shops open up again. We talked about asking for our daily bread. This is basically an example of daily bread. This is not asking for riches. It's asking for 3 loaves of bread. And then finally, at the end, in verse 8, when it says, because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he, what? As much as he needs. Not necessarily everything he may want or everything he may desire, but he gives him as much as he has a need for. So again, this is not a blank check. This is when you need something, God, will ultimately provide that. As we step back, I think kind of an overall thing to take away from it is that God always wants you to come to him. There is never a bad time for you to come to God. There's never, if there's a request on your heart, bring it to God. Bring it at any time. And God is a God that wants this relationship with you. If you have this relationship with God, always feel free to come to him. Say that word, Father. Understand what that means. You have a relationship with God. Never be afraid to knock on the door. Never be embarrassed. God, this request is too small. This request is too stupid. It's at the wrong time. It may be the case that the request is a bad request. And by the way, if you're embarrassed to come to God with a request because there's like sin involved with that prayer request, then that's something that you should know, and God will tell you. If you want something that you're embarrassed to tell God because it's a bad thing to want, then maybe you should rethink whether you want it or not. But don't be afraid to go to the door. Always go to the door. Always knock on that door. And God is always going to open the door. If you knock on that door and you ask for something, God is always going to open the door. He is not always necessarily going to give you exactly what you ask for, but he will open that door to you. You may ask for $1 million, knock on the door, pound on it, say, I want $1 million. He's going to open the door. He might give you 3 loaves instead of $1 million, but he's going to open the door. He's going to provide what you need. Sometimes it may take a while for him to open the door to a particular request. But if it is a good thing to pray for, like someone else's salvation, you can keep praying that. God is never going to get upset with you if you keep praying for something like that, if you keep persisting in a prayer request like that. God always wants us to come to him. Hebrews 4 verses 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Such a beautiful passage. I won't get fully into it, but the throne of grace was in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. This was the thing that was in the place that no one was allowed to go into. It was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain. Only the high priest could go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. It was this place you are not allowed, because this is where God is represented to be in His holiness. That was like, you know, you don't go and knock on the curtain, you know, into the Holy of Holies. But God is now saying, enter in. Go into this place with boldness. Go into this place with confidence. Come into God's presence. Knock on His door. He will open that door to you. Ask for that mercy. Ask for that grace. By the way, we are going to talk about this more next week, because we stopped after the first knock and it will be opened up to you. But then he goes on to say, everyone who knocks, the door will be open to you. And there's this kind of this promise and this guarantee. And we're going to look at what is that promise. You know, because this can be a difficult verse if people think that, you know, it says, ask and you'll receive. I can ask anything and I'll automatically receive it. Well, I hope we put that somewhat in context here when we look at this parable. And if you knock, you know, God will open the door, give you what you need, give you your daily bread, that type of thing. It's not this blank check, but we'll look at it next week as well when we look at what is the promise being made here, because he's going to go on to say, everyone who knocks, you know, the door will be open. So what exactly does that mean? And I'll give you a little bit of a preview that the focus is on our salvation. And really, if you think about it, the boldest, most sort of shamelessly audacious thing you can ask for, what is it? What is the boldest thing that you can ask for? What is the most shamelessly audacious thing that you can ask for? Yeah, it's that every single sin that you've ever done in your life would be wiped out. What could you imagine that you could ask for that is bolder than that? But we take that request so for granted that it's so bold and outrageous, because God says, ask for it. He says over and over again, this is what you're supposed to ask for. And so we almost get to the point where we think we're doing God a favor by asking for that. But really, it's the most incredibly bold thing that we could do. But God wants us to come and do that, to knock on His door, to ask for that, to say, I know that you're the God of the universe, but I want to be forgiven and have a relationship with you and for you to be my Father. It's an incredible, incredible thing. He's always willing to open that door to us. If you have never knocked on that door for salvation, please talk to me after the service. I'd love to talk more with you about that and to pray with you about that. If you do know Jesus, if you have that relationship with God through Christ, don't ever be afraid to come to Him, to knock on that door. I want you to think about prayer requests that you have. And don't lose heart if it's a good request. Ask God, is this a request I can keep pounding on the door on? If there's a request that you've given up because you lost heart, ask God, should I pick something up that I left behind? I don't want to be the one that stopped praying for tomorrow after 2 years. I want to be the one that prayed for 8 years. Is there something I stopped praying about that I should start praying about again? Ask Him these questions. Think about these things. Go to Him. Don't ever be afraid of going to God too much, to knocking on that door too many times. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank You so much for Your incredible promises in Scripture, and that You want us to come to You. You want us to come with an expectation that You will bless us, that You will reward those who seek You. God, I know that we won't always receive exactly what we want, but God, You will always open the door and give us what we need. Sometimes You ask us to knock over and over again for Your reasons. God, I pray that we would continue to knock. We would persevere in that, and we would come to You with what is on our heart, and we would not lose heart. God, bring those things to mind that we should be praying for and persevering in. God, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would speak to our hearts about this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.